I guess I have. Praise God. Father, as we come before you again this morning, we want to tell you how thankful, how grateful we are. We are your beloved. And that is an awesome thing to know because of the finished work of Jesus. Oh, Father, again, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit. You know you're invited to be a part. We thank you that you dwell within us. But we just ask that you stir our hearts this morning with what you want to teach us and guide us into. We thank you for the gold dust that's sitting on the chair up here. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your patience. We're experimenting with the flow of the service. So you know what? Excuse our bit of awkwardness in it. I'm going to apologize to those of you that I didn't get a hold of until I thought I got a hold of all the right people, and I don't think I did get a hold of everybody. Thank you for the musicians who and singers who are kind of having to up and down and up and down. But our, I'm looking for my water here. Our heart's desire is to just get a real nice flow from what the Spirit is doing in our hearts as we worship. So we're just trying it. We may change it up again next week or 2 weeks from now. And thank the Lord. We just want to really be sensitive to His Spirit and be able to keep going with Him. So I have a little joke I heard this week I'm going to share with you. Man goes in to see his doctor. His doctor asks him, "What's the matter? Tell me what's going on." He says, "I hurt everywhere." And the doctor says, well, can you point out where he is? He says, "Yeah," he touched his nose. He says, "Oh, I hurt there." And then he took his finger, he touched his elbow, and he says, "Oh, I hurt right there." And he took his finger, he says, "Well, what?" The doctor says, "Where else?" He says, "Well, when I touch my knee, I hurt right there. If I touch my stomach, I hurt right there. I touch my head, I hurt there." And the doctor says, "Well, you know what, you fool? You dislocated your finger. It's your finger that hurts." Yeah. You know what I forgot to bring up with me, Rebecca? The clicker. I think I... Anyway. So this morning, it was a busy week this past week. I want to start also by saying thank you, thank you, thank you to all of you who stepped up to help with the service yesterday for Bob Lyons. All of you who were a part of the kitchen crew, got the lunch together. Thank you, Keitha, for organizing everybody and getting that. Thank you to all the guys who came out and helped stack chairs and bring out tables and then take out tables and put the chairs out again. Again, thank you for all the hard work and the commitment. Thank you to Don for braving the soundboard for us and getting all of that going. Rebecca and Crystal for coming alongside with music. You know what, I'm going to shut that one off. It's flickering and it's making me crazy. Anyhow, I want you to know what an awesome thing it is to know that we're a church family that comes alongside somebody who's grieving. And in our busy lives, we kind of take the time to come around and encourage those. And I want you to know Marge has been very blessed by all of you and feels very loved by our church family. So thank you. Well, now that I have my clicker in hand, the title for this morning's message, maybe. Okay, yes, it is on. There we go. Rise, you giant slayers. Rise, you giant slayers. We're going to start in 1 Samuel here. And David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you and take your head from you. Whoa. I'm going to tell you what. Do you think David sounds a little annoyed at that Philistine? And we all know what his name is. It is Goliath. So today we're going to take a look at the story of David and Goliath. And of course, most of us are very familiar with this story. So I'm going to just touch in places, okay? Now, we're going to come into the story where we know the armies of Israel have gathered to take out the Philistines because they're coming after them. And in this confrontation, they have a champion. The Philistines have this champion that comes out. And his name is Goliath. And he comes out every morning and every night for 40 days. He comes out to taunt them and defy them. Now, I want you to think about what was happening. The Israelite armies did not move out against them because they were terrified of Goliath. I'm going to read to you from, let me see, I think I just put it up there. I'm not going to write it all. I'm reading to you from 1 Samuel 17, verse 14 to 11. And this is the New Living Translation so that you don't have to figure out what a cubit is and all of that kind of stuff. Not a Cuban, a cubit. Then Goliath, a Philistine champion of Gath, came out of Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. He wore a bronze helmet. His bronze coat, mail, weighed 125 pounds. Anybody push, any of you guys bench press that? I can barely lift my suitcase that can't be more than 40. So he wore bronze leg iron and he carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. The shaft of his spear was as heavy and thick as a weaver's beam. Thick. Tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. His armor bearer walked ahead of him, carrying a shield. Goliath, verse 8, Goliath stood and shouted and taunted across to the Israelites, "Why are you coming out? Why are all of you coming out to fight?" he called. "I'm a Philistine champion, but you're only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me." When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. Let's jump down to verse 16, and it says, "For 40 days, every morning and every evening, the Philistine champion strutted in front of the Israelite army, taunting them." So let's take a look at what it is the entire army of Israel is looking at that is coming out and taunting them. I got a little picture here I pulled off the internet. So somebody has developed, this is a 9'6" is the top head of Goliath there, and you can see this gentleman, he's 5 foot something. He's not a short guy, and he's standing beside him. Anybody here 6 feet tall? Go ahead, stand up, our 6-footers. If you're anybody taller than 6 feet? In the spirit? Stand up again for me, Wendell. Or Wendell, both of you can stand up here. We take a look at these guys. How tall are you, Wendell? 5'11 and 3/4". Okay, 6'2". Wendell Mullet wouldn't even get to his armpit. Okay? Make you feel pretty tiny standing next to Goliath. And I'm going to say this because of the type of armor he's wearing. Well, and they've got a picture of him. He looks ripped. This guy's carrying around some heavy weight all the time. He isn't tiny. He's big. He's huge. And let's face it, if we saw somebody standing out there like this, a little bit awestrucky, hey? Like, whoa, look at that guy. Now, I want to ask you, if you ran into somebody who looked like that, would it cause you to pause? Probably, hey? Well, we know that we all have Goliaths in our lives. Goliath situations, Goliath circumstances, Goliath pains, unresolved Goliath relationships, all kinds of Goliath problems. And those things are things that are so huge that they block our way forward. And they can even send you back a couple of steps in fear. I'm just going to ask you, what's your Goliath this morning? What is looking you down and defying you and getting you to say, it's just too big? I really don't know what to do about it. This thing is huge. Now, one of the things that we know that God's word is full of deep layers. We can read the story about Goliath and David and just see the story on top, or we can go a little deeper, dig a little deeper, and that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to start by looking at what Goliath's name means. The name Goliath means splendor. What a name for this guy. Well, when you look at him, imagine in all that bronze chainmail or armor, he probably did look pretty splendous, splendiferous. Kidding me. But you know what? The root of his name is something different. In Hebrew, it means gala, which means to expel or remove. It doesn't mean that that's who, what he does, that what he tries to. It means that's who he is. He's the one who's expelled and removed, stripped away from, pulled away from all the splendor. So why is that relevant or important to us to know? Because Goliath is really a picture of Satan or Lucifer, the devil. And you can say, okay, so how is that relevant to me in this situation? What is Goliath doing? What is he saying? He's challenging and he is defying the armies of God, the armies of Israel, the armies of God. He's arrogant. He's proud. He's overly self-confident. Because we know how the story's going to end, right? His attitude is, your God is no match for me. I'm bigger and I'm better. Turn with me to Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel, verse 1 here. Nope, that's not right. 14, thank you. Thought that. Ezekiel, a prophet, has a vision of Satan, of Lucifer, the devil, what's happened. So we listen to this, talking about the devil. You were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked among the fiery stones, which is a reference to other angels. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created, till wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God. I expelled you, guardian cherubim, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on the account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. I threw you down to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings. One of the things when we get a picture, and I don't like to talk a lot, give a lot of time to the devil, but one of the things was what he was created to be. He was beautiful. He was the top angel in the presence of the Lord with wisdom, incredible wisdom. But he became arrogant and proud. And because of that, he was expelled from the presence of God, from the Mount of God. And if you go to me with Colossians 2:15, this is what it says, and we know what had happened. Having disarmed the powers and the authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Jesus took them out and made a spectacle of them. Turn with me to Isaiah. Well, I don't have to turn. I've got it here. Turn to Isaiah 14, 12 to 14. And again, this is Isaiah the prophet speaking of Satan's fall. It says, how you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth. You once laid low the nations. Yes, you said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the utmost high mount of Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Talk about arrogance. But you are brought down to the realm of the dead, to the depths of the pit. Cast out, exiled, splendor, power, and authority all taken from him. So now let's go back to our story of Goliath. And we're looking at Goliath. Can you see how he represents the enemy? Can you see how he has the same attitude? I'm going to say he's an idol worshiper. That the enemy, the Satan, the devil has taken a hold of his heart. And he is arrogant, proud, thinking of all his splendor. But we know how this ends. He has it all stripped away. No splendor, no power, no position. And what is he doing? He is speaking out against the chosen one, the chosen people of God. Let's go to back to our story in Samuel. And so we're going to turn back to 1 Samuel. And we're going to start in verse 39. So Samuel's been talking with his brothers and the other men, and they've told him about Goliath and the promise that King Saul is going to give him his daughter and kingdom tax-free, all kinds of wonderful things. So his brothers, guess what they do? Why are you here? They said, go home, take care of the sheep. And David said, no, he's going out. He wants to take care of this Philistine. He goes and talks to King Saul, who tries to get him to put on his armor. And that's where we're coming in here. David, then Saul dressed David. Oh, I'm sorry, let me go down to 39. David fastened his own sword and tunic and tried to walk around because he was not used to them. I cannot go in this, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took his shepherd's staff, in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the river. For those of you who don't know, Goliath had 4 other brothers. David's getting ready. He's going to take them all. He put them in the pouch of his shepherd bag, and with his sling in hand, he approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. Now listen to this. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome. And he despised him. You see, one of the things that's for the people of God is health. And whose image have we been created in? We're beautiful. We're handsome. And the enemy despises that. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with your stick?" No, he's mocking his shepherd's stick. The Philistine cursed David by his gods, little g. "Come here," he said, "I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." David said to the Philistine, and this is our verse this morning, "Would you come at me with sword and spear and a javelin? But I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistines' armies to the birds and the wild animals. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those who gather here will know that it is not by sword or by spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." Again, we know how this story ends, so we can sit here and rejoice in what we're hearing. It is so amazing what God has done. We've got David here, a kid, a teenager, handsome, beautiful, wonderfully and fearfully made. Anybody here wonderfully and fearfully made? Anybody created in the image of God? Amen. And the enemy despises it because the very thing you are is the very thing he wanted to be. But he was not. We are the beloved of God. What does the name David mean? Come on, David, what does your name mean? Beloved. We get to be called Davids. We're all Davids. We're all because we're all the beloved of God. Oops, we'll get there in a second. Anyhow, I think that's what we just did. David's response to Goliath was, "You come against me with your swords and your spears and all of this, but I'm coming at you with the name of God. Are you God's chosen people? Is he the Lord of angel armies? Who's fighting your battles? Who is behind you?" And you see, as we come to this morning, I want you to look at what has happened with David here. Verse 48. Let's go to verse 48. "As the Philistine moves closer to attack David, David ran, tippy-toeing quietly, sneakily." And what does your Bible say? Anybody got quickly? Quickly. He isn't pussyfooting around. He's out there. He's going for it. David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. He's not shirking back there, not sure. Reaching into his bag, he takes out a stone and he slung it and struck the Philistine right on the forehead, and the stone sank in. Ouch. Ouch. He didn't have a dislocated finger. And he fell face down. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone without a sword in his hand. And he struck down the Philistine and he killed him. And David ran and he stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword. Remember how big that sucker was. He drew it from its sheath after he had killed him, and he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw that their own hero was dead, they turned and they ran. Then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout, "Woohoo!" and pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath and to the gates of Ekron. And again, you can read the rest of the story. There's victory. And there is victory from this little guy, this little kid, this teenager named David. And what does David know about himself? What does his name mean? beloved. He is the beloved of God. And what is the revelation he is working from? What is the revelation of God this kid has that makes him so unafraid he's willing to run headlong at a giant when the rest of the armies are cowering in their boots back there? He knew who he was, first of all. What was he? Beloved. Are you beloved? Hey, I'm a beloved of God. He'd seen God work on his behalf. Anybody here seen God work on your behalf? He's for you. David talks about he killed the lion and he killed the bear by the hands of God. God was with him. He has been through some things with God, and he knows he is faithful. He knows he's beloved. Now, if we jump back to verse 26 in chapter 17 there, verse 26 says, David asked these men standing nearby, this is before the battle, what will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? There's a reward. There's a promise. Do we have reward and promise? And then he says this, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? What do we know about the idea of the circumcision? Not what exactly happens, but what does it represent? Covenant. Covenant. These uncircumcised Philistines aren't in the covenant of God. But we just celebrated Easter, where Jesus at the Last Supper shared the communion with his disciples and said, this is my blood. Hello? I hear one. Do you know what it is? This is the blood of the new covenant. Are you beloved? Are you under a new covenant? Are you God's covenant people? You have circumcision of the heart? Yes, you do, if you're a believer in Jesus. Hello, Davids. Yes, I am. See, this is David's secret, if you want to know. It's not really a secret. That he knew he was a beloved of God. Oops, sorry, I thought I put these scriptures up. And then Colossians 3:12 tells us we are the beloved of God. In Luke 20:22, Jesus talks about the new covenant that we have. You see, the secret about being, rising up and being a giant slayer is to see the giant the way God does. He's a stripped away, exiled, powerless, positionless punk, enemy. He's done with. And we have the victory. We know we're the beloved. We have this covenant with God. And when you're standing and looking at whatever your Goliath is this morning, whatever you are looking at, I hope you had an aha moment. An aha moment that said, yeah, that's right, I am God's beloved. That's right. God is for me. Yeah, I have a covenant with God. And it's not a covenant that I can do anything to change or break, because it was fulfilled in Jesus. It was fulfilled in Jesus, and we can't change it. It is a done deal. It is perfect. And we get to just be a part of it as believers in Jesus. So again, I ask you this morning, what is the problem? What is your giant that is blocking your way today? Is it a marital problem? Is it issues with your kids? If you've got family members who are either suffering or making you suffer, how about finances? What about health? It doesn't matter what it is, what that Goliath is. You come from it at a different position. God has promised you all that he has. Everything is ours in Christ. We have an inheritance. We are the beloved. We are in a new covenant. And we can look at that uncircumcised Philistine and say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty, the God of the armies of heaven, whom you are defying. And when we can stand in that, in faith, it's like taking that rock of faith and go whap, and hitting that enemy right between the eyes, and watch him fall. Watch him fall. Why don't you stand with me this morning? And just read this with me. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen? Amen. Amen. Rise up, you giant slayers. Take out the enemy, for he has no power, no position, and no authority. Jesus has won us the victory. Amen. Amen. Father, we come before you, woohoo, celebrating who we are. We are your beloved because of the finished work of Jesus. We can face the giants in our life, and we pray, Holy Spirit, bring us the aha moments where we can declare those things that are standing in defiance against God and his covenant people. Again, Jesus, we want to give you all the glory, honor, and praise, for the victory is yours first, and you've given it to us. So as we go from this place, we celebrate, rejoicing the giant has come down. In Jesus, your precious name, we pray, and all the saints said, amen. Amen.